Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Peace to each family, peace to each child, peace to each woman, and peace to each man.
Peace to each family, peace to each child.
Peace to the creatures, peace to the nations.
Peace in our hearts, peace in our world.
Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Come to us from the heart of God.
Come to us from the garden of our beginnings.
Come to us from the center of this moment.
Come to us from the true depths of our soul.
Come, come, O Christ, and stand in our midst, as you did stand in the midst of your disciples, and speak to us words of peace. Amen.
A new song. I invite you to... hi, there I am. A new song, and so I invite you to stay standing as you choose. We're going to learn this song together. It's a baptismal song of praise. So that's appropriate, because right after this, we get to do the baptism. So I'll give you the words for the chorus. I'll ask you to repeat them back to me so we can learn them, and then we'll learn the verses. The chorus goes like this, so repeat after me. Born, reborn, born, reborn.
Born, reborn, born, reborn.
Formed, reformed.
Formed, reformed.
Souls with gladness now adorned.
Souls with gladness now adorned.
There's a lot of R's. Born, reborn, born, reborn.
Born, reborn, born, reborn.
Formed, reformed.
Formed, reformed.
Praise our God forevermore.
Praise our God forevermore.
Excellent. And then when we get to the verses are an echo. So I'll sing a line, you sing it right on back to me. So we'll sing, drown us, raise us, mark us, claim us, claim us. And then we'll sing the chorus again. All right, so I'll sing the chorus once, and I'll invite you to join me on the second time. All right, here we go. Born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, reformed, souls with gladness now adorned. Born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, reformed, praise our God forevermore. Let's try it, here we go. Born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, reformed, souls with gladness now adorned. Born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, reformed, praise our God forevermore. All right, here's the verse. Drown us, raise us, mark us, claim us. And born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, reformed, souls with gladness now adorned. Born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, reformed, praise our God forevermore. Name us, heal us, wash us, seal us. And born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, reformed, souls with gladness now adorned. Born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, reformed, praise our God forevermore. One more time. Born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, souls with gladness now adorned. Born, reborn, born, reborn, formed, reformed, praise our God forevermore.
Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Please be seated, and if you wish, I invite you heartily to participate in the baptismal liturgy, which is found in the fronts of your red hymn books on page, not hymn, but page number 227. 227. There she is. All right. Page 227. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. And we are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Thank you. Yay. And now Lara and Matt, as parents called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have your child baptized into Christ? All right. And as you bring Evelyn to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with her among God's faithful people, to bring her to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in her hands the Holy Scriptures, and to nurture her in faith and prayer so that she may learn to trust God and proclaim Christ through word and deed and care for others in the world that God has made and work for justice and peace. All these many things, which is why we do church and community, right? It's a long list of responsibilities for parents and hopes for Evelyn. So I ask you, do you promise to help your daughter grow in the Christian faith and life? All right, Sophia, you're up as her sponsor. Do you promise to nurture Evelyn in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit and to help her live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? Thank you. And now, people of God, believe it or not, you all are representing the Christian community for Evelyn this day. And she will have a special connection to this Holden community as well. Do you promise to support Evelyn and to pray for her and her new life in Christ? If so, please answer, we do. All right, now we are going to profess our faith. Dan Erlander calls this a big no and a big yes. We live in a yes and culture where we think we can just stack a whole bunch of stuff together and we'll be just fine. But honestly, when we are turning toward God in faith and turning toward one another to try and live out justice, there are indeed things that we have to say no to before we are fully able and ready to say yes to God. And the Holy Spirit guides us. But in the baptismal liturgy, it means we're going to renounce, we're going to say no to some things, and then we're going to say yes through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Saying, yes, this is what we believe. So the things that we're renouncing, just in case the words are a little bit strange, the way I look at it is the first one is we're renouncing that there is evil in the world that is not of God, and we strive against that. We say no. The second one is that there are systemic powers in this world that sometimes our efforts toward justice feel like a drop in the bucket, but we still say no. I renounce them. And the third one is, folks, we do have capacity to stop some of the sin and muck that happens in our lives. So the third thing that we're renouncing is the stuff that we have some semblance of control over in our lives, but ultimately we depend on God's grace. And then we'll join together as you feel comfortable to say the creed. Are we ready? Why don't we stand for this? Yes, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in the Father, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and your word, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. In the river Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. And by the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us up to live life in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the unity of the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. All right, this is the big moment, kiddo. Here we go. Evelyn Cornelia, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. I'm going to come over here and stand with her. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give your daughters and sons new birth. You cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Evelyn with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Evelyn Cornelia, you are a child of God. I mark you with the cross of Christ and seal you with the Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. The water started warm, but I think it's getting cold. Yeah. Sorry, kiddo. All right. So this big, tall candle represents the light of Christ. And when we are baptized, we fully believe that the light of Christ now shines in you. Yeah. And so I say to you, let your light so shine before others that they may see your God in heaven. Let your light so shine before others that may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. Amen. Sound good? I'm going to give that to Dad. All right. Let us welcome the newly baptized. I think you got a paragraph there. Are we ready? Okay, how does it start? Let us welcome the newly baptized. Here we go. We welcome you into the body of Christ. Woohoo! Meet your new sister in Christ. This is Evelyn Cornelia. Hi, yay! Good job, yeah. Thank you, guys. And you can blur that out. You're welcome. All right, so now I need the kids to come up. This is like a big service. The two really big things that Lutherans get like crazy excited about are baptism and communion. And I want you to come up and talk about the other one. How do you know when you're having a special meal at your house? How do you know when you're having a special meal at your house? What happens to the table? People get, oh, there's people. Okay, we got lots of those. What else happens? Food. There's good food. Okay, check. What else happens when it's a special meal at your house? Ooh, we pray. Yep. What else? Ooh, fancy tablecloth. Ooh, check. What else? Bread. Ooh, there's bread. Yep. What? What? Oh, breadsticks. That is a fancy dinner. Do we have a food service lead that could get us some breadsticks? We always light candles. Do you ever light candles when it's a fancy dinner? And you invite guests? Yeah. Yeah? Okay. And you make food that smells really good. Can you smell that? It's a little. Yeah. All right. So this is a point in this amazing service when we are going to give thanks for this meal. And we're going to do it. And we're just going to weave through all these guests. Now, here's the thing, folks. In the Thanksgiving, it says, here we gather with bread and wine. Do you see your response? Right? I'll say a little bit, and then you all will say, here we gather with bread and wine. And I want you guys to say nice and loud, but with more than bread and wine. Can you try that? but with more than bread and wine. Okay, gathered community, can we say this? Here we gather with bread and wine, but with more than bread and wine. Okay, we're ready. All right, you gonna lead the way? Now grab hands, we're gonna form a chain. Grab the person next to you. All right, here we go. Great creating spirit from whom all life comes forth, here we gather again with bread and with wine, seeking your presence, longing once more to be nourished, hungering for wholeness in our lives, for unity on earth, and for peace among the nations. But with more than bread and wine, here we gather with creation's elements all around us, with earth and air and fire and water still expanding through the universe, with the glory of the sun and the whiteness of the moon and the glittering of the heaven's lights off owing waters. Than bread and wine. Here we gather with the firm fecundity of the earth, with the growing and the greening of trees, creatures of the day and night, birds of the air, all full of your glory, all bearers of your presence, all part of great harmony that we long to touch and taste and become one with again. But with more than bread and wine, so with everything that we see and sense around us, with visible and invisible energies that pulse with life, we join the sounds and the song that vibrates throughout the whole of creation. And can we say, holy, holy, holy God? Holy, holy, holy God. One more time, a little bit louder. Holy, holy, holy God. One more time. Holy, holy, holy God. Your presence fills all things. Amen. Our meal is ready to go. Thank you so much, guys. You can have a seat. And we will now hear from our holy scriptures. Yeah.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, delighting in you as in your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing the commandments and decrees of the Lord that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely, this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The second reading is from Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore, you teach sinners in your way. You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. All your paths, O Lord, are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep your covenant and your testimonies. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
One verse from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 39. Jesus said, "And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Let us pray. Eternal God, we are grateful for this evening, for the celebration of baptism, and for the celebration of new life for us all. Speak now, so that we might hear what you call us to do and be in these dark and evil times. Speak now that we might be salt and light for those who are hurting and for this world. Speak in me that your word may be plain. In Christ we pray. Amen. If there was a simple subject, since I'm a Baptist, I have to have a title. It would be simply Love in a Mirror. Love in a Mirror. Tonight we find ourselves in the Gospel of Matthew at the height of Jesus' ministry. Here in this 22nd chapter, Jesus has been engaged by the Pharisees and the Sadducees to several public battles of wits and debates about his teaching. According to the Gospel writer, these encounters are designed to undermine Jesus and his teachings, casting them as fraudulent and suspect. In this chapter alone, Jesus teaches the crowd and his critics about the importance of heeding the invitation to a banquet as an indictment of the Pharisaic subterfuge. Later on in the chapter, he makes the distinction between Caesar's money and God's money and worship given unto God when the Pharisees challenge him about what money goes where. And subsequently in the chapter, he clarifies the theological nuances of what the resurrection shall be like when the lawyers want to parse the meaning of it all. In each encounter, Jesus parlays the intensity of the attack of his critics with the wisdom of a powerful sage and quite simply wows the crowd. But if I was present on that day, long ago, I'd be concerned about what happened next. If I was there, having watched the wisdom of the Christ do away with the critic, with critic after critic, attack after attack, I would have had to step in and save my Savior from what happened next. Jesus seems to make a misstep in parlaying the next attack of his critics. I know I'm messing with your theology already. When confronted again by a Pharisee who asked, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" Jesus gave his answer saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." And I would have nodded and said, "Yep, that's right. That's right, Jesus." But then my Jesus messes up. He says, "And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's it, right there. That's the slip up. That's the mess up. You can drive a truck through that rhetorical hole. You shall love your neighbor as yourself? Really, Jesus? See, here's the thing. Jesus' statement makes a huge assumption about his disciples. and about us. Jesus says that we shall love our neighbor as ourselves, but the active aspect of this statement is the assumption that we first love ourselves. And I have to say, if I look around at how we treat our neighbors, I must conclude that we don't have much love for ourselves. No. For if we loved our neighbors, if we loved ourselves, we wouldn't lock ourselves in cages just for trying to find a new home safe from persecution. If we loved ourselves, we wouldn't blame ourselves for our own deaths at the hands of law enforcement or neighborhood watch captains. If we loved ourselves, we wouldn't stand for living without a roof over our heads with little or no food to eat. I'd say to Jesus, if we're called to live into this commandment, we can't do it unless we love ourselves. And I don't think we do. You've made an assumption about us, Jesus, and I think we're going to let you down. And I know, as good educated Lutherans, I know what many of you are thinking. Assumptions are built in part on information that you don't have, but you have to guess about. How can Jesus make assumptions when he's God and he's omniscient? It's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. The short answer is that Matthew, for biblical scholars, Matthew doesn't readily assume Jesus' all-knowing character that we in the church would assert much later. So we're not obliged to take up that belief in this passage. But the more substantive answer is that assumptions are not always built upon information you don't have. There are some assumptions that we make that are predicated on the assuredness of believing despite not having that reality yet. Let me give you an example. I assume that my children will act with good home training when they leave my house, even though they rarely demonstrate those qualities when they are in the house. I assume that what has been placed in them will eventually come out of them in due season. Jesus is likewise. Jesus makes similar assumptions about us. He makes strong assumptions about each and every one of us in our discipleship. And in so doing, in this passage, gives us two quick lessons. The first is in self-love, and the second is how to become lovable. The lesson in self-love that Jesus gives in this one verse is not about selfish love. For much of our self-help, support networks, books, articles, and certain types of therapy eventuate in creating a love of self that, while healthy and productive in many contexts, is not the love in this lesson that Jesus is talking about. In this lesson, Jesus teaches the Pharisees then and the disciples now here today in Holden is that love, this is a love that is of self that affirms the power of one in a community of many. It is a love that is self-respecting and self-affirming, not for the intent of a grandiose ego, but for the sake of recognizing your own humanity, how flawed and vulnerable we are. This self-love, I'm sorry, Paul, but this self-love does not bear all things, as Paul would later say about the church, but this love knows its limits. It's a love that's interdependent and not codependent. It's a love that eventuates in dignity expressed in the world despite being beaten down by systems of oppression. It's a love tempted with both accountability and grace, accountable for our actions. We take responsibility for our actions, but also mindful of grace that does not condemn our lives because we made one mistake. The best example I can give of this self-love was instilled by Mrs. Bennett, my first grade teacher. An older African-American woman who had already been teaching for 30 years when I came along, she was a mother figure to a group of intimidated African-American 6-year-olds having been bused to the white school for elementary school education, even in the 1980s. Miss Bennett was the motherly figure that reminded us we were loved and supported even in strange and foreign places. Miss Bennett, upon seeing us walk with our heads down and dragging our feet in the manicured hallways of the Samuel B. Ogle Elementary School, would sternly warn us to pick up your feet and your head too. Show the world your dignity and your strength. Miss Bennett taught all of us in her class the importance of believing in your own strength as the first act of love. And engaging a world that won't always love you, you must first love yourself. There is in each of us the spark of love from the divine that pushes us to remember that what we have already done and what we've all become, despite our circumstances. That is the love Jesus is talking about here. Love yourself enough to be dignified in humiliating situations. Love yourself enough to stand in opposition to those who may wrong you. Love yourself enough to push yourself to do more than others think you can. Love yourself enough to walk tall, walk alone, and walk in new spaces, not just because someone said you could, but because you loved yourself enough to believe it yourself. The second lesson. Your neighbor, you must love your neighbor as yourself. You must first learn also to become lovable. You know, something happens when you love yourself in a way that promotes dignity and humility and in all that you do. It's an interesting reaction of self-love in one that eventuates with people coming and saying, "What manner of love is this?" They speak so highly of themselves. They've been beaten down, but they hold their head up. Others looking for love, looking for respect, seek you out to experience the love you have. Those who are like-minded in their self-love are drawn to build community with you. You become one who receives love even before you know how to give it. You become lovable. And I suppose the most important aspect of becoming lovable is a simple recognition of what it took to first love yourself. You first recognize that the journey that you've been on that caused you to pick up your feet and pick up your head. You realize that there were Miss Bennett's in your own life who invested in you and loved you enough so that you could stand tall in your most difficult moments. Once you recognize what it took for someone to love you, once you recognize what it took for you to love yourself, you realize what your neighbor is deserving of. The same opportunity to experience that kind of love, the same grace that you gave yourself in difficult situations, the same investment that was placed in you, you now place in others. Maybe that's what Jesus meant by love your neighbor as yourself. If I had to tell a quick story, I would say that I learned how to become lovable from a white guy from Pennsylvania. We were in seminary together, and as far as I'm concerned, he was just another white guy from Pennsylvania. He ran marathons, loved drinking glasses of milk, and talked about his beloved United Methodist Church. We shared classes together, and in class, we were both outspoken about similar issues. And while I didn't pay much attention to the consciousness of his critiques, he always paid close attention to mine. To the point that when he approached me to comment on our similar likes and his desire to be in relationship with me, I told him that I wasn't willing to be the black friend he needed to prove his street cred to his progressive friends. He laughed and said to me, "I already have three of those. I actually like you." With that comment and a commitment to seeking justice and equality, he demonstrated a lovable character and became a trustworthy friend. A friend so close, he and his family are part of our family. I, the godfather of his son. He, the godfather of my oldest daughter. And in so doing, we learn to be lovable one to another. This is the twofold lesson at the heart of loving our neighbor as ourselves. We act with a love of self that conveys dignity and helps us to show love before warranting an intimate expression. It's a character that makes us trustworthy. And it's the kind of love that almost puts forward a billboard for the least and the lost and the last to come and find a neighbor who will break down the cages of their captivity and tear down the walls being built between us. A neighbor that is willing to believe the testimonies of the oppressed and act to stop the acts of racial profiling and police violence that have ravaged their lives. They will find a neighbor who's working to build homes, establish economic equality, and change the value structures of a society that makes it difficult to find a home. You know, the more I think about it, the more I recognize that in many respects, Jesus's assumptions about each and every one of us eventually comes to pass. Jesus assumes that Peter will be the leader of this new movement, even when Peter doesn't believe it himself. Jesus assumes that each of his disciples would go on to be witnesses to his ministry. He assumes that they will get it and grow into what he already knows they will be, witnesses of his message. And with the work of the Spirit, they do. But my prayer tonight is that, like Jesus' assumptions, his assumption about our self-love will one day come to pass, not for Christ's sake, but for our neighbors.
I invite you to open up the red hymnals to number 642 as we respond to God's word in song.
Responses are in your booklets. The sections marked by plus signs in the bold print. Let us pray. Heaven and earth are full of your glory, O God. Your presence fills all things, yet what have we done? Life forms torn forever out of the fabric of the universe. Wealth wasted, nations at war, families broken, great creating spirit, hear our plea for mercy, hear our prayers for the earth. Know that God's great and loving spirit indeed does hear our prayers and promises to work through the likes of us. The peace of Christ be with you all. For the sake of the late hour, I'm going to invite you to share peace with one another as we conclude our service. Sound good? All right, let us continue to worship with our tithes and offerings.
Instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is darkness, let me shine light. And may your love cause us to open up. Cause us to open up our hearts. May your light cause us to shine so bright that we bring hope into the dark. That we do without love it means nothing. Grant us the courage to give. As your calling, an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is darkness, let me shine light. And may your love cause us to open up. Cause us to open up our hearts. May your light cause us to shine so bright that we bring hope into the dark.
I invite you to have your hymn books turn to page 473, so we're ready with the Sanctus. Hymn number 473. And then we're also going to enter into the meal portion of the service, which begins with a section entitled Memory of Jesus. And again, you're invited to respond with the bold print. Into our brokenness came the memory of wholeness.
Into our fear came the messenger of love.
Christ born among us.
One with us.
Child of heaven.
Son of woman.
Bearer of forgiveness.
Healer of our nature.
Teacher of wisdom.
prophet of peace.
Rejected by the religious.
Crucified by the state.
Companion of our soul.
Lover of the earth.
We stand together and sing, Holy, 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 Santo, Santo, Santo.
Santo.
Santo, 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 mi corazón te adora, mi corazón te sabe decir, Santo es Señor.
Disciples at table on the night of his arrest, Jesus blessed the bread and said, "This is my body, broken for you." With his disciples at table on the night of his arrest, Jesus blessed the wine and said, "This is my lifeblood, poured out for you." Come upon us with your spirit, O God, and upon this bread of the earth. May it feed our longings for peace. Come upon us with your spirit, O God, and upon this cup of unity. May it set us free to love. And as Jesus taught us, we pray. Ground of all being, mother of life, father of the universe, may we know your presence here. Seeking your will upon earth, grant all creatures food for today and strength for our families. Pardon our falseness as we forgive those who are untrue to us. Do not forsake us in our need, but lead us to new birth. For the glory of life and the light of life are yours forever. Amen. These are the gifts of earth. The gifts of heaven for the people of earth. God blesses that which we bring forth, and we give thanks. Know that we desire that there be no barriers between you and this feast that Jesus offers us, and so know that this is his table, and it is he who invites you to come. There will be stations up here. Why don't you be seated? There will be stations up here. The first person will have gluten-free wafers. The next person, myself or Asa, will have bread. And then there will be a common cup that you can drink from, or you can dip your bread in the common cup if you choose. If you prefer to have wine or juice poured for you, there will next be a basket of empty cups. The first pitcher will be wine, and the second pitcher will be juice. And finally, there will be a basket for your empty cups. Again, all is prepared. We invite you to feel come forward as you feel comfortable. There will not be ushers guiding you forth. So just draw forward to this meal. And if you wish to come forward but you're not sure about taking communion, we invite you to come for a blessing. And you can just simply cross your hands over your chest and we'll know to give you a blessing. Also, kids commune at all kinds of different ages and different traditions. So if kids are going to be communing, make sure they lift their hands nice and high so that we know to give them the bread. All is prepared and you are welcome to come.
Be behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. You take away the sin of the whole world. You take away all our sin. You take away the sin of the whole world. You take away all our sin. Have mercy on us. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb. Take away the sin of the whole world. You take away all our sin. You take away the sin of the whole world. You take away all our sin. Have mercy on us. Grant us your peace. Amen.
For those of you with books in hand, I invite you to turn to number 493 in the red hymnal. 493.
Taste and see.
by the Lord, all ye three. Together let us all praise God's name. I call the Lord who answered me. From all my troubles I was set free. Taste and see, oh.
Turn to page hymn 461. 461.
Oh,
472.
This bread, drink this cup, come to me and never be hungry. Eat this bread, drink this cup, trust in me and you will others. Eat this bread.
May the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and keep you in his grace. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the Spirit. Great creating Spirit who swept over the depths of the unknown to give birth to creation in all its splendor. Great creating Spirit who conceived new life in the womb of Mary to give birth to the child of peace. Great creating Spirit who hovers over the waters of the human soul today to give birth to healings and visions that have never been before. Come to us as an earth community. Come to us as nations of the world. Come
to us wholeness.
Grant us healing.
Grant us together a new language that we may be one.
One more song. We're going to do a paperless song, so you can put your hymnals away if you'd like. We're going to split into three groups. Fortunately, this has already been done. Group one, right here. Group two, right here. And group three. We're going to be learning a song that's in the round, okay? So we'll sing it a few times together, and then we'll split into groups. One, and then one measure later, two, and then one measure later, group three, okay? So I'll sing it once, and then I'll ask you to sing it with me. It goes like this.
Christ is our guiding light. Come, let us walk in the way of peace.
Ready?
Christ is our guiding light. Come, let us walk in the way of peace.
Let's listen again one time.
Christ is our guiding light. Come, let us walk in the way of peace.
Now you have a group one. Ready? Here we go. Ready?
Christ is our
guiding light. Christ is our Christ. I'm going to stick with you this time. Christ is our guiding light. Come, let us walk in the way of peace.
Deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, deep peace of the Son of Peace to you. Amen. Go in peace. Thanks be to God.